Now we're talking about, and one of the things we're dealing in this age and time is one of the great problems in America God's been dealing with is dealing with the area of salvation. What is the purpose? What's salvation for? You know, I titled the thing A Full Salvation. What does it mean? What does salvation really mean to us? People have a lot of ideas. People say a lot of things about salvation. But what is salvation? You know, what am I saved from? What is it? We got this idea of being saved. Well, what is it to be saved? Well, you know, I talked last week, people use terminologies. We have a lot of terminologies we use, but they don't necessarily mean a lot to us, or they don't even mean a lot to other people. A lot of people I heard don't even know what we're talking about. When you talk about Jesus saves, probably the average person, if you went to the average college student and tell them they need saved, they think you're an idiot. They don't know what you're talking about. Need saved from what? I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. Most Christians don't even know they need saved. Most people that call themselves Christians ain't even Christians and don't even know it. They don't even know. They don't even know they need saved. Well, why? How can all this go on? How can this happen? Well, it's number one, salvation is not preached. It's not preached. It's like anything. If you went into a church that never preached healing, you would not find healing in that church. You wouldn't find healing there because there's no faith for it. It's not preached. Salvation is a thing. When I came into the kingdom, I came in knowing I needed saved. I came into the kingdom knowing I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and He dealt with me my need for salvation. Now the reason He could deal with me is because of things that were preached to me earlier in my life when I was a kid. And He brought to my remembrance those things that I was preached, if they haven't been preached. See, we need to know this. One of the things, I've been to meetings over the years and that stuff, and I've always said this. I have never been in anybody's meetings since I've been as a child, when I was in meetings during the healings where I was the 50, where the conviction power of God was so strong in a place that, man, I'm going to tell you, you couldn't stand to be in those meetings. If you didn't accept Jesus, you'd probably run out. You could not. The convicting power of God would be so strong. And the reason it was because was what was preached. It is not preached today. The need for salvation, what it was. See, there's one thing is, when the Holy Spirit dealt with me before I got saved, He dealt with me, I was put under conviction. Let me tell you about the word is conviction. I'll read you a scripture. I don't know exactly where, I'm just sort of, as the Holy Spirit directs me in what exactly to do here, because I said this morning, I go so many things, but I just feel in my heart, just be led by the Spirit. But in John the 16th chapter, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. Jesus said in John the 16th chapter in verse 7, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." It's good. He said, look, it's good I'm going. This is your advantage. As Christians say, oh, I wish Jesus would have stayed. Why was Jesus a liar? He said, it's your advantage I go. Because He said, for if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. The best thing is going to happen. I'm going to go and you're going to get the Helper. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got the Helper. Now listen. Verse 8. And when He has come, He'll try His best to make the sinner feel real comfortable and good. No, He said, no, understand this. Folks, we need to understand the importance of what this is telling us. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Do you hear judgment preached today? Oh, no, we don't preach judgment. There's no conviction in the world except Christ. There isn't any conviction in the church for Christians to turn their lives around. There's no conviction. See, we might look at people and think, well, they're alive, they're Christian, and their life's a mess. Is anybody preaching judgment to them and telling them what happens, things getting judged? No, we don't. There's a conviction about righteousness, the need of righteousness. Righteousness is a powerful thing. We get born again, we become the righteousness of God. But there's great power in living in that righteousness. There's tremendous power in living it. People need to know about living it. See, everybody wants the power. Well, how do I get it? How do I stay out of judgment? We find in the Scriptures tell us, Paul writes and says, if you don't judge yourself, God will judge you. And that's written to Christians. That's not written to the world. He told them that many of them died prematurely because they wouldn't judge themselves. So Christians couldn't get healing because they wouldn't judge themselves. See, if we don't preach these things, we're not preaching it to make people feel bad and rotten. We're preaching it to save lives and so people can live and fulfill their life. If you don't preach it to people, you don't love them.
Hallelujah, preach.
You have no love for them. Don't lie. It's self-love. I want them to like me, so I'm going to say things that make them like me.
Amen.
I want them to enjoy me. I don't want them to think that I'm, you know, I don't want them to think that I'm a legalist. I'm going to tell you what, death and destruction will come upon those who live in sin. It's the book. It's the Bible. But we Spirit-filled have tore all those pages out, you know. We're full gospel. We're full of something, but I can't say it. We need to understand. This is one. His conviction. We need to know, especially with dealing with the sinners. If we're going to deal with the sinners, the thing that we need to do, I cannot convict men of sin. But the Holy Spirit can. I must preach so He can convict. Now, let me just say this to you. I want you to, I'll do that, Lord. Wasn't going to go there right away, but I want to obey. That'd be the smart thing to do, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. I want you to, in John the third chapter, I want you to see, because you know we all love John 3:16 and all that, and it is wonderful scriptures and this stuff. But I want to read you John 3:36, because what we're dealing with sinners. Here's what we're dealing with, the person who's not born again. Listen what John said. He who believes, this is 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Now we're sitting here today, we believe in the Son, don't we? We believe in the Son. We've been born again. What is it? The ones who believe in the Son, you have everlasting life. It's not something you're going to get. You have the life of God. That's what everlasting life is. You have the life and the nature of God. You've been born of God. You've been passed from death unto life. That's what happened. That's where we're at. But listen to this. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But what? But the wrath of God abides on him. You know the word abide means? To live. Do you know that the sinner, how many times do we tell sinners that the wrath of God's living on them? Oh no, we wouldn't say that. That don't sound like love. But see, we have a problem because we're not telling truth. We say we want to speak the truth in love and we don't. We want to say things that sound lovely. But speak the truth, that's another thing. Do you know, when the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin, one of the things He convicted of me was the wrath of God's on me. I'm going to be going to hell. I'm going to be judged by God and eternal damnation. That's what He convicted me of. And then on top of it, He even made it worse. My family was going to end up in the same judgment because of me. Thank God He loved me enough to tell me. He didn't send some weak-willed, wimpy old Christian to me to lie to me. He told me the truth about my condition. And you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, convicted me. In other words, let me tell you this. Every sinner is already convicted of sin. He has been judged by God. He's not going to be. How could you be convicted if you weren't convicted yet? See, there's a conviction can't take place till you've been convicted of something. In other words, the court has already settled it. The court of heaven has already settled the fact that every believer that doesn't believe on Jesus, the wrath of God abides on them. That's their sentence. The wrath of God abides on them. That's the sentence. Do you hear people talk about that? No, because it's the Bible. It don't sound fun, but it's the Bible. The truth, the Holy Spirit is able. We don't do this to do meanness to people. We speak to them because we love them and tell them the truth about their life. And let the Holy Spirit has hardly had a thing to go on with people. It don't have a thing to go, because people don't understand the condition. You know, we have this nice stuff. You know, Jesus made the statement. He said, he asked a question after giving a little example. He said, who do you think loves much? He said, well, the guy who's been forgiven a lot, he's a guy that loves much. The guy that hasn't been forgiven as much, he don't love as much. And I've watched this over the years. Our lack of preaching salvation and the truth about it and the need for people and their rotten spiritual condition, because of it, people don't think they get forgiven of much by God. I'm a pretty nice person. You know, you guys have heard me tell a story. We had a woman years ago used to come to this church, and she said to me years ago, she never would live right or walk right. She'd always trouble. She's a gossip and everything else, you know. And anyhow, she came to me one day and she said, you know, I don't have a testimony like yours, you know, of what God did for you and that stuff. She said, I didn't live a life like that. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, you were worse than I was, because you think you were pretty good. I said, you were going to the same hell I was going to. You don't know what you've been saved from. I know what I've been saved from.
Hallelujah.
That's why I love God a lot. And I'm going to tell you what, it has nothing to do with how bad I was. I came to the place through the Word of God to realize my condition. And we don't preach the condition to people. And we have this today, as I hear preachers, I can go on probably radio today and hear somebody say something stupid like, well, people are generally good. And they say they believe in being born again. Heck, I wonder if they are. I'll tell you, to me, it's hard to weed out what's going on out here in Christianity, the nuttiness of it. We need to understand. I understand my condition. Thank God. I needed saving. But it doesn't matter how much I sin. Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for everybody. He wasn't, some people weren't so bad, so he didn't get punished so bad. See, today we have moved away from truth. You see, back in the 50s, when they preached the need for, they'd preach about the need of salvation, they would preach to sinners their condition. It wasn't that they didn't like them. They wanted, but it was amazing. The moves of God would go on. So like I said, I sat in meetings already where grown men would just wail and cry and run to the altar. Today, the sinner will sit in the church and smile the whole time. He's all right. Everybody's all right. Everybody's pretty good. Your problem is, you just need a better education, or you just need a better car, or you just need a better, and Jesus loves you and he'll help you get all that. We've lost the condition of people and the love of people to see what they are. The church today is too geared towards self-love, trying to get people to like the church. I don't care if you don't like me at all. They take Jesus, I'm happy. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. I'm not that shallow. I'm not that important. If it wouldn't be for God's anointing on me, I wouldn't be important at all. And, you just get over the fact about yourself. You ain't very important. You don't get a trophy for participation in the kingdom of God. You ain't important. Get over it. If I've done anything good, it ain't because Ed was ever any good. It was what Jesus Christ did to my life. I am saying this, and I'm not saying this trying to, this is not some false humility. I am still always amazed that God would have called me to preach His gospel. That blows my mind. I think, Why would you honor me with such a thing as anoint me? Anoint me to preach your word. What on earth? It is an absolute honor. Amen. An absolute honor that God would gift me. Hallelujah. To preach his gospel. Dear Lord. If I was picking, I would have probably picked me last. I said, Lord, you ought to get them over. They'd be pretty good at this thing. Or that guy over there might, or this woman here. But in fact, he called me. That blows my mind. Because I would have never picked me. I would have never picked me to preach. But that's what he chose. Hallelujah. It says he gave gifts unto men. Oh my. You know, it sort of made me question his judgment a little bit there. Does he know what he's doing? Do you have the right guy? Hallelujah. But he's done that. The wrath of God, and we need to begin to look at people, because can you imagine? This is one of the things we need to understand about salvation. Salvation removes the wrath of God off an individual. Amen. Do you understand that? The wrath of God. Men and women are walking around with the wrath of God living on them, the Bible says. It's not someday it's going to happen. That wrath is on their life right now. Waiting to be fulfilled if there's not a change. Do you realize the condition? I mean, I look at Biden and those guys and my heart goes out to them. It's like, the wrath of God's on. No wonder. The wrath of God is on these people. You know, who am I sitting around complaining all the time about what's going on? Dear God. Hallelujah. No matter what happens in this earth, we get to go to heaven. We get to go to glory. We get to walk and live in glory. No matter what takes place, they go to eternal damnation, eternal judgment. One day the final, the second death, the lake of fire for eternity. We get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can't lose in this deal. We got it made. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. We need to understand. What is salvation? I just want to say that there's a word that, one of the words that are used, we want to talk about over time. I don't know how we'll go to them. And I'm just sort of, as the Holy Spirit just sort of leads me into doing different things, is I just did not feel to. I've studied. I got notes on things, and I was up reading some things this morning that I just really enjoyed concerning this subject. And I don't know if we'll use it or not. I thought it was a good one. I had some. I put those notes, the scriptures in the bulletin. We might get to them someday. I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. I just, scripture's good anyhow you put it. I don't know. Just like Mike was reading scripture this morning. It was good. It was good. It was scripture. Hallelujah. It's God's word. But there's a word that is used that we call, it's a Greek word pronounced soteria. It's soteria, it's pronounced. And it's a Greek word. Lots of times it's translated salvation. Because we use the term in the Bible, salvation. But when we look at it, most people, when we think of salvation, we think generally of the new birth. People think of the new birth. But the whole thing of it is we're going to deal with the subject because there is a full salvation. But what are we saved? We need to talk about what man is saved from. Now that word, soteria, if you look at it from the Greek, it really is the idea of rescue or safety. It could be physically and used in the sense of physically or morally. Well, you know, it's very interesting because in the Bible, it is used in both sense. There is moral salvation and there is also physical salvation because this term is used dealing with physical, God physically delivered people. So it's used in both sense. Now, the church basically uses the word salvation thinking about being born again. Or God saving people. I don't know, even a lot of people today don't like the terms born again. They don't like that in the churches anymore. They don't like those terms used. Well, it does. It gets difficult when you use Bible terms that we're afraid the Bible might hurt somebody. You know, that, if we say too many Bible words that people will, you know, we got to try to make up new words today to make people feel good. But, this word's a wonderful word because it is used the idea to deliver for health. in what we would talk salvation or safety or saving. That's what this word is means. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is how soteria was used in the Greek language of that day. You know, they take documents of the period of time to look how this terminology was used. And let me just say this going into this. They actually had a goddess who had this name. She was a deliverer. And this name became a thing that was used not as a goddess, became used in the language when dealing with the areas. Now, in the Greek language, it's used as rescue or deliverance from danger, destruction, or peril. Soteria includes restoration to a state of safety, soundness, health, and well-being, as well as preservation from danger of destruction. And it's interesting. One thing is I found out, God is never frivolous in His use of His terms. These words were used because of their vast meaning, because it does have a vast meaning, and God wanted man to get a hold of the vast meaning of it. It's more than just get born again. Soteria is about the Christian life. It's about the living. It's about being delivered from everything, any kind of harm, anything that would harm or save. That comes under the covering of salvation. A total, full deliverance. That's what people need. A full. See, when we deal with it, when we only talk about salvation from today, many, and I hear this term all day, you need saved from sin, or you need your sins forgiven. That salvation is only forgiveness of sin. So they give you, salvation is this big. That's a very small part of salvation. In fact, the forgiveness of sin, if that's all it is, they don't include the new birth, that it just, you got forgiven. And I've heard them say this, so I'm not just saying to criticize, but they say these words. They say, you know, that you're a forgiven sinner. That's all you got. Well, I don't understand why we needed Jesus to go to all that trouble if that's all He did. Because they had forgiveness of sin in the old covenant with bulls and goats. So the blood of Jesus gave us the bull and goat thing all over again. That's what He gave us. See, our forgiveness of sin is on a totally different plane than the forgiveness of sin. See, when you throw those terms out there, and what happens? It weakens it. Because what it does is what Paul talked about, that people in the end times would have he told Timothy, a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The Lord spoke to me specifically about that. He said, because people always would talk about that's the gifts of the Spirit in operation. He told me, He said, no, that's not. He said, the power of salvation. He said, true salvation changes the life of a person. They become a new creation. And that is not being preached today. We're not preaching change people. You get saved, you're the same old scumbag except you're forgiven. You see, salvation is an enormous thing. It's a huge, and it's glorious and it's powerful, but it must be preached to people of the measure of its glory and in the measure of its power. It has to be preached. Why? They ain't going to have any more than they hear preached. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. They will have no more faith in salvation. This is why, and I always try to tell people this, this is why healing is so hard for people. Because healing is a secondary subject in the kingdom of God, and maybe third or fourth or fifth. And even people say they believe in it, they put it way down here somewhere off to the side. And why? You know, we go out there and tell somebody, when somebody say, well, if I accept Jesus, would He save me? We say, well, sure. Well, of course He'll save you. He said He would. Well, God will save you. Let me ask you, will God heal you for sure? Well, sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says maybe, sometimes wait till later, sometimes, you know, if you have enough credit and you can, you know, pay, you're giving a whole lot of money, maybe He'll do that for you. I don't know. Everything is thrown out there in the abstract. And people can't have faith in it. See, one of the great things that I had is listening to Kenneth Hagin. That's why I didn't listen to all the rest of the other people. Because he said God would heal you. Just as much as He'd save you. I was a baby Christian and got over into the healing thing just like that and picked that thing up. Thought, my God, you can walk in this thing. This is no problem at all. Because it was preached to me that God would heal just like as He would deliver me from sin, He would heal me. Most preaching today you'll hear on healing, it's what you've got to do to try to get healed. You know, if you do this and you believe that, no, you are healed. We don't need to do a whole much more talking about it. What more do you need to hear than you are? When you got born again, you were healed. Say, well, then why am I still sick? Because you ain't believed you were healed yet. It's simple. When I believe I am and quit waiting for it, God never told you to wait for it or do anything. God told you that your job is to believe you receive it and then you'll have it. Do you believe you have it? That's your job. If you're still looking around doing all kinds of other stuff, you ain't going there yet. You're still waiting trying to get something. My job ain't to worry about when it comes, when it goes, or whatever it is. My job is to believe the Bible. Believe what it says. Believe I receive it and I have it. It's mine. I got it. My job is not to listen to my body and listen to the doctor and listen to everybody else. My job is to believe with the Word. It makes it so easy for me. I don't have to figure nothing else out. I like that. These intelligent folks, what a mess. Always thinking. Always got their mind going. I don't have to. As little as I have to think to get by, I'm doing it. We're going to say on the side, God said, you just believe you receive it and you will have it. That settles it. Anything beyond that is unbelief. It's just like salvation. Were we told, well, you're going to accept Jesus. Now, He might not save you. Now, what you got to do is you accept Jesus and then you just keep believing that you'll get it one day. You just keep trusting. You just keep... Did we tell them that? Well, we should. If that's the truth about all this stuff, we should be doing that to people. That's why faith don't work for people on stuff. That's why faith don't work for people in finances. They believe God for money. They never believe they get it. They'll believe when they see it, they got it. They'll believe when it shows up. I got it now! Hey, any dummy sinner that never believed God for two seconds can do that. Hallelujah. It takes faith to believe you're healed when you don't feel a thing and nothing's changed. That's what people don't like to. You know what? Sometimes I don't feel saved. How many times you feel saved? You know, I'm just going to tell you straight out. I got up this morning and didn't feel saved at all. I didn't feel a bit saved. I didn't feel a bit glorious. There wasn't no anointing to get up and the halo. I looked in the mirror and that halo was. It was around my head. And I saw them wings sticking out there. And I just said, isn't it glorious just to be saved, a child of God? No, I got up, went in there and had to shave this dumb face and had to look in there, had this teeth and a bad breath. You got to brush your teeth like everybody else, you know. You're in there, Mr. Salvation, you know. Now, if somebody walked in and said to me, are you saved? Sure enough, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Glory to God. And I'm anointed. Felt no anointing, nothing. I'm anointed. I don't have to feel anointing. I'm anointed. The Lord spoke to me back in 1983, sitting in an airplane. Actually, it was a TWA airplane. Remember they used to fly those things? TWA? Sitting on a TWA airplane, the Lord said to me, you're anointed and don't you ever forget it. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think or whatever's going on. I anointed you and you're anointed and you always walk and live like you're anointed. This is why things don't work today. Everybody's trying to get one. I got one. Glory to God. Come visit me. I'll tell you about it. An anointing isn't a feeling. It's the power of God that is waiting to get on you and work through you when you act like you got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. See, that's good news. Amen. Much of the church world knows very little about faith. They know very little about it. Everybody's waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for a thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith and patience are good, but faith is wonderful. You can stand in faith and stand when you believe you already have it. It belongs to you. You can't stand patiently if you're still trying to get it. You will not last. You won't make it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You keep putting it off to another time and you're going to be 20 years later still kicking it down the road. And you'll never have it. You can't do that. Hallelujah. When you arrive at the place of faith, place says, I have it, it's mine, He gave it to me. And I'll guarantee you, your flesh will say, well, it don't seem it. You have a choice. You don't live out of your heart or out of your flesh. You have a choice when people come to you and say, well, I can see you didn't get it yet. Yeah. Are you believing God? Say, no, we're just casting devils out of people like you. Going around. The old doubters. And I tell you what, the church is full of doubters. Full of sitting around thinking they're spiritual. Well, we'll just see if they get. We'll see if God. Yeah, yeah, they talk this stuff. They don't ever get nothing. Going around trying to discourage everybody else instead of joining in, and somebody says they got something, say glory to God. Hallelujah. They got it. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people get jealous when somebody else gets something. They do. They get jealous. I don't care if I think a guy's living like a heathen. If he gets blessed, I'll cheer for him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm into cheering for blessing. I'm not gonna curse blessing because I want blessed.
Amen.
I ain't cursing blessing. We ain't doing that. Glory to God. You get blessed, I'm for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. So we talk about salvation. I want you to get in your mind of what salvation. This is what the Lord has talked to me about. You need to get in your mind what salvation really means. See, what salvation did you get? What salvation did you just get your sins forgiven? Is that what you got? Or did you just get, you know, it's just like people, you're a new creation. Praise God. So one of the things I love, Brother Hagin, and you know, listening to him when I first got born again, and he talked about when he first got born again, the thing he would always tell people, they'd come and talk to him, he'd say, I'm a new creation. They'd ask him what happened to him, he'd say, I'm a new creation. You see, he had a reality that he was different. Amen. That he was not the same. See, that is not preached today. See, I thank God when I got saved, I had those things preached to me by Kenneth Hagin and the fact I was a new creation. Hallelujah. See, I came around, I got involved in a church. I'm only saved a few years and I get involved in a church, and this church I'm involved in, these people are some of them 20, 30, 40 years born again, and I get involved with these people and I know, you know, some of them had a real hard time with me. Because I was too, you know, exuberant about. I thought the Bible was true, you know, and they were always going to try to cool people down, you know. Like Kenneth Hagin said, don't worry about wildfire in a church. He said there's always enough wet blankets to put it out, and that church had at least 75% wet blankets. They were always trying to throw a wet blanket onto somebody. I had one of the deacons one time that said to a young guy who got born again, was really exuberant about his salvation, and made this statement to this young guy. He said, oh, you'll cool down some. And I just blurted out of my big mouth. I'm just in there. I said, yeah, he'll get cold like you are. Well, the conversation ended there, you know. He didn't want to talk no more. And you know what? I didn't think I needed to repent either. He needed kicked in the butt. He's out running around smacking babies that are on fire by God, for God. And he's smacking them. And I turned, threw a bucket of cold water on him, and then on he knew where I thought about him. And he always kept his distance with me, which was a good thing to do. I didn't want to be close to him. You won't be close to those kind of people. You don't want to be close to them. They run around throwing water on fires when they should be throwing gas on them. Hallelujah. You see something burn, go throw something on her, get her going good. Hallelujah. Go over there, cheer them on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who's afraid of wildfire? I'm not. You know, Brother Hagin said sometimes you need a little wildfire. You need to at least get something going. Dear God. You know, they got the order of a graveyard in a lot of places. Hallelujah. We need some fire. So we need to walk it. Get yourself over where you see the importance. You know that your salvation includes in you. It rescued. You were rescued from danger. What was the danger? The wrath of God. You were rescued from God's wrath. You know, you were put in a place of safety. Hallelujah. See, you're any man be in Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In a place of safety. Scripture says, you know, that we're in Christ and Christ's in God. Is that safe enough?
Amen.
Is that safe enough? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You've been saved and put in a place, a state of safety, of soundness, health, well-being, as well as preservation from danger or destruction. That's salvation. See, we don't preach salvation. We preach the forgiveness and God loves you, but we don't preach the power of it. This is why most Christians don't ever walk in the power of salvation. They can't. It's never preached. Salvation is just, well, I'm a forgiven sinner. I ask Jesus into my heart. The Bible don't even tell you to do that. The Bible never says it. But see, we have all these cliches and all these things that are said, but they're not Bible. The Holy Spirit's great desire. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit without power? What is His purpose? There is none. It's about the power of salvation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You were gloriously saved. I want you to know about it. Maybe you didn't know then, but find out now and enjoy it. You were gloriously saved. When you accepted Jesus, the glory of God moved in. You're rescued. Hallelujah. You're no longer under the wrath of God. And because of that, you were moved out from all danger in life of sickness, disease, all that. You have been pulled out of that. But you can't have it unless you operate by faith. Even though it's yours, even though whatever is yours or mine, we may never enjoy if we don't walk by faith. We have to believe it's true. Talk like it's true. Talk like I have it. God will take care of me. God, well, we've been having problems. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I do. I want to trust God because He rescues me from destruction. Hallelujah. Don't know whatever's happened. It don't matter. God will give me wisdom and deliver me. I just don't know. What did you? Would you pray for me? Why? Would it do any good? If you don't know what you got, me praying for you don't help a thing. You don't have to pray. This is what I'll pray for if you ask me. God, please give them wisdom. Lord, move in their heart to go start reading the Bible and find out what they got. Go find out about the wonderful deliverance that was given to them in Christ Jesus. Reveal to them, Lord God. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. To pray anything else would be a waste of time. What you need. See, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin has said, lots of people, they asked me to pray for them for healing. He said, I don't pray for their healing. They're not ready to receive healing. They need a revelation about healing. He said, I pray God will deliver them. I pray God will show them from His Word so they can receive it. See, we run around, some guy says, I'm saying, oh, pray for me. They're believing nothing about it. They ain't got a thing going on. And we just, yeah, I'll pray for you. And we pray and nothing ever changes and we wonder why that didn't change. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Without faith, you can't please God. Hallelujah. See, we want to bring people to faith. We want them to please God. I don't want some guy to get healed one time, me and never get healed again. Never be able to get it. That's why we need to preach the truth of salvation when we bring people into the kingdom. So they know what's available to them. Most people will live and die and never be told what's available to them. They'll never know. We should be told in the beginning. See, I thank God because Kenneth Hagin, I would listen to his teaching. I learned from the beginning all these things that belonged. Now, there's a lot of it I couldn't get a hold of yet, but I could learn about it because I knew it was there. I was told. If I hadn't been told, I wouldn't have known it was there. I might have stumbled across it. Like Kenneth Hagin said, how he stumbled across things. Where he came to the kingdom and they weren't told certain things. He didn't know. I mean, can you imagine, I want you to think about it. Can you imagine it wasn't really in the 1940s till the Spirit-filled churches dealing with Assembly of God actually knew that you could cast out devils. Kenneth Hagin got that revelation and he said, they never taught us in that church. We were always praying for God to do something about the devil. And he said, God, Jesus appeared to him and gave him a revelation that you can cast out devils. Now, I want you to understand this. The whole time the Bible says, when Jesus took him over in the vision and showed him where it says, in my name you'll cast out devils, he said, I read the Bible down how many times and never saw that. Well, none of the leaders of that church movement ever saw that either. I don't care if you can quote the Bible. That don't mean you know a thing that's in it.
Amen.
I don't care if you quote the whole thing. There's no sign you know what it's really talking about. He said, I read over that hundreds and hundreds of times. And he said, I never saw that. You know why you don't see certain things in the Bible? And it isn't because of just... Now, we need to understand. You need to have the Holy Spirit revealing, but many times the Holy Spirit can't reveal to you because you have preconceived ideas of what things mean. Till you change that, it stays the same. Till you let somebody say something to you other than what you believe, you're going to stay there. And even though the truth's in the Word, I know there's things that I've read so many times. I've sometimes listened to preacher or teacher. Listen, preach something, the guy says something, and I think, dear God, I didn't see that all that time. That was there. I read those scriptures and read those scriptures. Never, but he's my expression when I thought, my God, I didn't even see those words in the Bible. I didn't know they were there. Because while I had certain ways I thought about those scriptures. And forever, I was changed on those scriptures because of what he said. See, preconceived ideas can really be very harmful. That's why you want to be teachable. Always teachable.
Hallelujah.
I always consider, I don't know. I am amazed. Over this past few months here, I'm just amazed at things God showed me in the Bible. I'm just amazed. And I sat down and the Lord said to me, he wanted to show me some things. And I thought, dear Lord, this is going to be long lasting because I think you found out you're Saddam. But you don't know. But he says, I want to teach you some things. So he wants to take you through and show you some. But you know what? You've got to be willing to want to do it. There's a lot of people God is not going to stop and say, look, I'm going to take you through the Bible to show you some things. Because they don't ever look at their Bible enough other than maybe a little daily reading here or there. But they never look at it enough for God to take them through any place. He doesn't do that for me because I'm a teacher. Because there's loads of stuff he teaches me. There's things I can't even teach yet. Because the reason I can't teach it is because people would choke on it. They'd never get it. There's things you got to learn and know and understand to learn to understand other things. One of the things that I found out is this. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, I hate to think I go into heaven as dumb as I am. And then he said, then what about you? And I thought, boy, you're right about that. And I ain't saying things because I'm smart. I really think the Church of Jesus Christ is dumb and the dumbest people sit at the top. They know so little about some things that I am totally shocked how little they know. The things that they say, I think sometimes, man, these guys are flowing in a system that works for them, but they're not living in a place of revelation. There's no depth to them. They don't have depth. And you need that. I know myself. I understand. You know, we're shallow in things. We might have some areas we know some stuff. But I'm going to tell you what. There's areas we don't know some stuff. And you have to find out about yourself. There's things that I know and there's things I don't know. There's things that I get glimpses of light of. There's things that I have glimpses of light of. There's things and places that I have questions that I tell you what, I know that I can't ask any man about those questions because they'll criticize you if you go asking. And one of the reasons they'll criticize you because they don't know nothing about it. And to them, they don't even know enough to even look in that direction. You have to ask God. Every time I get revelation, God's been giving me some revelation things, and I've been asking questions, because every time He gives me a revelation, there's light comes on. And I don't know about you, when light comes on, I get about 3 or 4 more questions. Because now I start seeing certain things and I think, well, what about that? If that's about this, what about that? I want to know. So you get questions. That's all the point of growing. See, you never want to stop that in people. Religion will stop that. Religion will always put a noose around people's necks and bring that to a halt. Religious leaders don't like people getting smarter than they are, because they might have to learn something. They don't want you to go beyond. That's what I loved about Kenneth Hagin. He said, I expect you to go further than I do. Amen. But today they don't like that. Let's hold people back. Let's hold people within bounds. I tell you, if God gives you a revelation, enjoy it. Have at it. Learn something. Dear God. God wants to reveal. Whatever we can get from God, whatever revelation you can get, walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Take a hold of it. Be a person that questions about the Word. I question about things that are preached. I've heard people preaching here lately certain things that people are saying, good ministers saying things. But I said, you know, Lord, what I know from the Word, that can't be correct exactly what they're saying. I said, they're talking about a thing, but I said, they're talking about it partially. That thing can't be, they have a truth, but I said, that, I know, that can't be the whole truth, because the Scripture says such and such is here, says such and such there. What they're making statements of can't be the whole truth on this thing. I need to know. And I question God. I've been asking God questions about things. Lord, I need to know. I need to know about certain things that they're saying. I need to know. And understand, because there's things there. Without the answers, you can't walk by faith. We just sometimes accept things with a very limited knowledge and try to walk in faith, and we wonder why things don't work. Because we don't have enough revelation on it. I had a very good friend who passed away. And he passed away because of limited revelation. I never could get him to understand that he kept acting on a partial revelation, but he wasn't walking in the full light that he needed. And he ended up dying prematurely. Never could get it across to him. Because he'd get over, for some reason, he listened to certain things that certain people said, and he got stuck there. I don't know why, but he just got stuck there. And I tried to talk to him, The fact of, you're just not in faith. I said this to him so many times, because Kenneth Hagin said this, and I got it from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin talked about as he was a young boy, he got off the deathbed. He was 17 years old when he finally got off the deathbed. And he said the Lord about Mark 11:24, and he said about believing he was healed. And the Lord said to him, you believe as far as you know. He had a partial revelation, but he was trying to get out of bed with that partial revelation, and it wasn't going to work. And then the Lord gave him a further revelation, and he came off that bed. I tried to tell this guy, I said, you're trying to walk into something. You're trying to walk in something you don't have a full revelation on. You need a full revelation on that. You don't have the full revelation. You have a partial revelation. You need, he never would buy it. He thought he had it. And I could see it came to the point. I quit talking to him about it. I saw it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. He wasn't going to listen. Now, is it bad or anything? He's in heaven with Jesus. He went to where it's called far better. So, you know, he didn't lose out. There's some Christians I think today ought to go home quick, because if they get living in the earth, they'll probably backslide so bad they may not go with Jesus. They might be better off going now. It's far better to be with Christ. There's no Christian that loses in death. How can you go to heaven and you lost? Dear God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Well, maybe we'll keep meddling here a little bit longer. What do you think? Hallelujah. But we need to come along with this full salvation. We want to get this picture of it, because people need to hear that there is a full salvation. It's not a partial thing. We need to know salvation from Scripture so well. We need to understand and comprehend it. We've got to be able to convey it to people, what God has done. Now, there's people always going to be in opposition. There's going to be people, you know, it's like we have people today that, you know, the average church does not believe Jesus always heals. I mean, the majority, you know, I mean, we even go among spirit-filled churches don't even believe that Jesus always heals. I can take you to ones. I know people go to different churches. They call them great churches now, and they're supposed to be spirit-filled, but they don't believe Jesus always heals. And they call themselves, you know, full gospels. We're a full gospel church. We believe. You know, just because you believe in healing don't make you full gospel. Just because you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost don't make you full gospel. Do you know what makes you full gospel? You can live in the full gospel. If you can't live in the full gospel, you ain't full gospel. That's good preaching. You know what? I'm still studying the full gospel. I'm still reading about the full gospel. I'm still doing this stuff. You know, I need this as much as you do, because we strayed away, the body of Christ has strayed away from these things. You know, I remember back the days of the full gospel businessmen. I'll tell you what, they were more in line today than most of the big ministries are today. We were at that time with the full gospel. Today, even the big name ministries, oh, they talk things, but they have moved away from a lot of stuff. They've got over to, you know, a formality of things. And, you know, well, you know, we formally admit these things and we formally, you know, they believe these things. But we've lost the life of it. When it was over in the full gospel business, man, you know, we just thought that was true. We just thought that if Jesus showed up at a meeting, people would get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and healed. We were so dumb, we didn't know. We thought the Bible was true. We thought God would show up. And you know what? He would. These guys would come together and God would show up. We had that. See, it was important in those days. Today in the full gospel circles, it's not important to get filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. We're ashamed of it. I mean, on TV, the full gospel ministry, they don't do. They don't ever show anything, that stuff. They don't like to be around that kind of thing. We don't want to have that. People get offended. People don't like it. See, the devil runs the church today. We decide what the devilish people don't like. And so we don't do that because the devil don't like it. So that becomes our ministries. The devil doesn't like it. So let's keep it. Somebody might think I'm weird because I speak in tongues. Well, what do I care if they think I'm weird? You know, if somebody starts thinking you're weird because you're breathing, what, are you going to hold your breath forever? You know, what are you going to do? What do I care what they think? I know what it does for me. I know what it does for God. The Bible says when I'm talking in tongues, I'm talking to God. That's why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Think about that. He's trying to straighten the church out because all they want to do is talk in tongues. And he says, I talk in tongues more than all of you guys do. And now today, all of a sudden, tongues is of the devil. Somebody threw a light switch. You know why it's of the devil? Because of faithlessness. Men can only live by what they understand. And see, it all has to, it's all a mental thing. Christianity today is a mental thing. That's all it is. It's mental. Many of the people who claim to be Christians, who sit in churches and people declare that they are Christians, are not. They have mentally ascended to certain truths of the Bible, but their hearts have never been changed. They don't believe with the Word. It's like the Lord said to me this one day. I was using the term. I've said this before. I was just using the term because I hear people use it all the time. And there was a guy in a certain area of ministry, and I made this statement and said they were a fundamentalist. Now, we mean the people use this term fundamentalist. What they do is they talk about somebody who believes in being born again, but they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in healing and those things. They're fundamentalists. And I had said that, used that term over times, but I would, something inside of me, and there would be like a scratching on the inside when I'd use it, but I had learned how to ignore that. So I would just go on and use it. And that day, I went and said that word, and the Lord spoke to me just as clear. He said, why do you call them fundamentalists? I thought, oh, this ain't going to be pretty. Because I'm definitely wrong. So I'm getting corrected. He said, They're not fundamentalists. He said they fundamentally don't believe most of the Word. He said, you're a fundamentalist. You believe the fundamental principles of the Word of God. So I got God's opinion on it. I'm a fundamentalist. They're just saved by the hair of their teeth. They're going to heaven. You notice there's no hair on their teeth, and if there is, I don't know how that got there. But anyhow, they're saved. But they are not fundamentalist. They don't believe most. We believe the fundamentals of the Word are true. See, and the Lord told me that. He said, you're a fundamentalist. He said, you believe the fundamental truths of the Word of God. They don't. Hello, dear Lord. So you just can't go around and say that to everybody and all the rest of the Spirit-filled people because they'll, well, don't say that. I got nervous, you know. This is why God don't talk to people. This is one thing. I gave the Lord permission to talk directly to me. And if he has to tell me, Ed, you're a nut, shut up, he can. Most people think they're too genius, too smart. And if somebody said something like that to them, it'd be the devil. No, the devil's cheering most Christians on because they follow him real good. Oh, okay. I'll go up here and stand. I'll get out of the way. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to begin, not today, but we're going to begin to look because we're going to look at the idea and what God, one of the things God wants to bring across to the church world, that we would understand ourselves, but also to preach to others how bad sin really is. See, sin's not bad to the church world today. You know, people call it mistakes, problems, and everything else, and it isn't. Sin is so bad to God that he'll pour his wrath out on it. Sin is so awful. It is so terrible that people can't stand in the presence of God with it. He will not. Sin cannot enter heaven. He won't allow it. See, we view sin as just, well, mistakes. I did this wrong and I did that. We don't see its detriment. Understand, I'm just going to do some overview of this. Sin is so bad that what it does to humans in the earth, it brings a curse on that is so detrimental that it will touch and destroy every area of human life. Look at the curse of the law. The curse of the law, and it's happened to Israel, would go so far that they would eat their children. Do you think sin couldn't carry America that far? If you don't, you know nothing about the Bible and you know nothing about sin. If sin keeps going, and sin keeps going, this is why there is second return of Jesus Christ to the earth. It says if he didn't shorten the time, there wouldn't be any life left. Sin will destroy everything. Sin will destroy everything. Sin will is a debauchery. And we don't see it as bad. We don't see sin as bad. So salvation ain't no big deal because sin ain't that bad. So he forgave me of my sin. He forgave me of my debauchery, my evil, my wickedness, my destruction that was trying to kill and destroy my own family. You were too. Get over it. Wasn't nothing nice about you either. Get over it. Self-centered, selfish things, we get over it. You weren't a nice person. You never were. Get over it. Our sin needed dealt with because it was destructive. It wasn't just killing us. It was killing around us. It was destroyed. It was marring everything it touched. When you understand that, say, man, I need saving. I need saving. See, when I realized that my sin was so bad, it was going to destroy my wife and kids. I had never seen that before. I didn't know that. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. of what was going to happen. I didn't realize. See, all we have is, here's the American culture and even American Christianity. It's just between me and God. It's my life. It's this. This is my body. And it's selfish, self-centered, sick, perverted people. Sin always leads to selfishness. Sin leads to selfishness. And we have a sinful society and we have a sinful Christianity because it's too self-oriented. God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. God sent Jesus. His love was for people. It wasn't for Himself at all. He didn't consider Himself anything. He stepped out of the glories of heaven. He stepped from perfection into the mar and mire of this earth to deliver us without any thought of Himself. Christianity is not about you. It's about the life of God in a people that can change this world. We got to come to this place. We got to leave this thing out here. God wants to use me not because I have anything to offer. I'm a body that can let Him manifest Himself through. God wants to be incarnated again. He wants to come into man and He wants to live through me. He wants to live through you. He's not interested in your personality. He's not interested in your junk and your smart mind or nothing. He wants to be God in you. God wants to blow up inside of people. That when people look and see, they say, that's God. That's not so-and-so. That's God. God is working through that man. Jesus Christ was so settled into it. He would go do miracles and it said the people would glorify the God of heaven. Not today, they glorify the minister. Because it's all men doing their things. That we would glorify and say, my, that is God. I want God to move through me greater than me. If all people can have is me, oh dear God, you ain't got squat. You don't have nothing. It's got to be more than us. We talk about God manifested in Jesus Christ. I learned through John G. Lake, the incarnation never stopped. God is still want to manifest. God's still in man. God moved into man. God moved in. We see the Holy Ghost is in us. That's the incarnation, folks. God's living in me. Hallelujah. God's in a man. It's incarnation. Now, let's let that God in us become God in us. Folks, that's going to take some work. You know? I probably have to slap this body down a few times. Hallelujah. But see, one thing, if we follow the Word, you can conform. You will conform to His image. If the truth is preached about what salvation is, man can believe God and be changed. It's not some kind of laborious work that you're trying to make happen. It becomes a natural chain of events by faith. Believing the Word. And the Word manifesting itself. Believing that the Word's true when it doesn't seem like the Word's true at all. Walking around, living like it's true. And everybody said they're insane, they're crazy. But I'll tell you, God will blow up one day. God is going to show up in this nation. And there's going to be a lot of angry Christians. I'm going to tell you what. There's going to be more angry Christians in a move of God. You're going to be shocked. They don't want to move a God because there ain't nothing but a bunch of Pharisees have been running their religious games and they have their things and their systems at work that have made them rich and made them all kinds of stuff. And there's a people coming out. They're going to be full of the glory of God and they're not going to care about none of that. Their heart's going to be turned toward people that God loves and God's going to work mighty through them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I don't care if I don't get to do it. I'll be one of their cheerleaders. Hallelujah. I'll get the pom-poms out and I'll cheer it on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to be the bucket of water or the wet blanket. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's allow God to move. I don't know about you, but I got really fired up. For a guy, For a guy who woke up this morning and didn't know if he was saved or not. I woke up this morning no anointing or anything. I just kept coming to me. You just go. You'll know what to do with it. Because if I show you my notes, they don't make sense. But I don't know what to do with them. You know, if God don't show me, I don't know if God don't show me what to do. I didn't want to put them in an order that I made. Because I've done that. And it don't work anyhow. And I think, well, that was a waste of time. I just sit and I read over scriptures and read through scriptures. And I just meditate on scriptures. And that's just how God uses me. Now, I love line upon line teachers. I really, in fact, of a teacher, I'd rather listen to a line upon line teacher. I love to be taught systematically. Like you could sit me down in a Bible school and I like that. I like that where you sit and go through things and learn systematically. I enjoy that. But that's not how God uses me. And, that was hard for me to make that transition because that's what I used to do. And teaching, I've taught in Bible schools. And I mean, I could still do it, go teach in a Bible school. I could still do that kind of thing. But generally, though, when I teach, God will tell me, He'll give me stuff, and then He'll say, I'll show you what to do when you get there. And that was very hard for me at first to do that. It's an area I had to learn by faith to do. I had to learn to, because it wasn't comfortable. You know, there's great comfort in having notes. There is. Because say, what if I get up there and I forget? Now, I know none of you would think like that. I would. I'd think, you get up there and all of a sudden, what if I end up lost and don't know where I'm at? You get overthinking like that. You get in, I just need to have something to fall back on, that I got to have. Well, then I found I had to learn to fall back on the Holy Ghost. I had to learn to do that. But now you understand, God anoints me to do it that way. You don't try to do it that way. Because, now I'm going to tell you what, I do a lot of studying. Now, I have done a lot of reading and studying on this subject. I could sit down and throw note things together. I could sit down and do it, put all kind of things together. I have all kind of scriptures and stuff and things and notations that I put down. Things as I read through, I see things and I write them down. Some of them I may never teach or never, it's just for my information, things that I'm learning as I go through. Others are to be taught. And see, I have to learn to do that because sometimes I want to think, it's just like this morning. I was reading a thing this morning out of the scriptures, and I thought, oh, my God, I ought to read that to him today. Is that ever good? I'll tell you what. And we didn't use it. Anyhow, I thought it would explain some things so well. But that isn't where the Holy Ghost. It's not where he goes. But I saw that. But see, this is where I do. You don't. If you're operating and God leads you in this direction, don't think that you don't study. You study. I sit down and study and read scriptures and meditate in scriptures and things. In fact, I spend my whole week mostly geared over to scriptures concerning these things, and I meditate on them during the week. Whatever I'm doing, it's a thing that's always running in me in the background concerning these things. And all of a sudden, I'll just start picking things up. I'll get, oh, yeah, okay. Something will come to me. All of a sudden, certain scriptures will come to me. Ah, okay. And so you do that. Just keep that thing running in the inside of you. See, you can do, they talk about, people do say, I go out here and I do 10 things at the same time, Well, most people don't do any of them any good. They do 10 things and concentrated on nothing. But you know what? This is one thing that anybody can do. You can learn how to do things operating out of your mind at the same time have another thing going on in your spirit. You have to learn to operate like that. See, I can get over doing stuff through the office and sitting there doing work that needs to be done out of my mind. And the whole time, my spirit has another thing going on inside of it, is learning that. You can do that. And any Christian can do it. Any Christian can do that. It's learning to operate out of the inside and from your mind at the same time. It's not hard to do. It's funny, I never get confused doing that. Now, sometimes I get over and try to do 3 things at the same time, and after a while, I have things all messed up. You never do none of them well. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's so many things that we need to know and understand. And we realize, Lord God, that we are limited in our natural minds and in our natural understanding. We recognize that fact, Lord God. Lord, we thank You for wisdom that we have, things we've learned in this earth as we walk. But Lord God, the most precious things that we have ever learned have come from the Spirit. And Lord God, You wonderfully saved us. You wonderfully set us apart to Yourself. And Lord God, You put the great Holy Spirit in us, the teacher. Oh Lord God, I am so thankful for the teacher. I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful to have a guide in me. Lord, we all know what it's like. And even as Christians, there's times we try to guide our own life. We know what that's like. Lord God, Lord, we've been in that hit and miss process. But Lord God, the Holy Spirit has never steered us wrong or guided us wrong. The Holy Spirit has always led us in line with truth and in line with blessing, in line with things that helped us. And Lord God, Lord, we live in a nation among people. And Lord God, we're not lifting up towards You any greatness that we have or any glory that we have. But Lord God, this world can't be reached without it. And Lord God, if we don't have Your glory and if Your hand isn't on us, there is no way, and we recognize the fact, we cannot accomplish Your will and Your purpose. Lord God, we may do a little good here and a little good there. But Lord God, I believe everybody that's here is frustrated with a little good. Is frustrated with the, you know, getting by stuff and just, Lord God, there's a hunger that's in us that You put there, a drive for much more. For a greater glory and a greater place to stand. A greater place of anointing, Lord God. Lord, that is our great desire. There must be, Lord God, things that reach far beyond what we have reached or touched. Something must go further. Lord, we're not going to be happy if it don't. Lord, I won't kick the can down the road anymore. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to the sometime, somewhere, somehow place. Lord God, we're a people in a desperate situation. We're in a world, Lord God, with great desperate needs. Lord, people are leaving the face of this earth in droves and in hordes out into eternity without Christ. Lost, lost forever. Forever separated from the presence of God. Never, never to know the goodness and the glory that has been offered by a generous, glorious, wonderful God. Not to know them. And Lord, Lord, when I look at us and think of all that we may have learned, it still seems like a drop in the bucket. Because God, I just can't imagine You, Dad, that You know everything. You can see everything. You comprehend everything. That Your wisdom and knowledge are endless. It's beyond my imagination, Lord, because I can't even think on that level on this plane where I live. And Lord God, we need that mind demonstrating itself through us. We need that glory that is in You, Lord God, manifested in the earth. We're the church of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we desperately need Your help. We know, Lord God, Lord, we can look around and even our own families and our own things, Lord, in life, people that we're associated with, stuff going on, Lord God, and then look across with our nation. Lord, endless surmountable problems, endless surmountable things, Lord God, that the knowledge of man is so limited and touching. Oh, but Your glory can reach in. Father, we have all experienced in the past, we have all experienced at times of Your glory being revealed and the wonderful things it has done. Lord God, all of us could give testimony. Every one of us could give testimony of the glorious things that You stepped out and did. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank You for it. But Lord God, I'm not happy with the past glory. I'm not happy with what You did before. Because, Lord, I know You enough and well enough to know You might have us talk about the past to show people things you do, but you don't hang in the past. You're not a God of the past. You're a God of the present. You're a God of the present. You're a God of present glory, of present manifestation. And Lord God, Lord, there is a great need today. Hallelujah. Lord, as we look and we think, oh, what great things need to be done, as if like it would move something. Lord God, in comparison to your glory and strength, the lifting of your finger would demonstrate a glory, Lord God. Your power is endless to you. To manifest yourself and to show yourself and your power. Lord God, it is no great thing. It is to us. It is a marvelous and wonderful thing to us. But Lord God, you're great. And we're holding you in the place of greatness. Lord God, we're holding you in the place, Lord God. As Paul said, he said, when I'm weak. And Lord God, we're weak. We have done all of our thing. We've done all that we know. And we know, Lord God, it would by no means accomplish your will and purpose. By no means. Hallelujah. We need your glory. We need your power. Lord God, we're in a wonderful place. We're in a place, Lord God, that is glorious because, Lord God, we've come to a knowledge. And Lord God, this is great wisdom. This is great wisdom when man knows he's run out of himself. Ha, ha, ha. Great. Lord, this is the place of great salvation. This is the place of great deliverance. Hallelujah. That there's only one place that it can come from. And it's our God. That's the only place. Hallelujah. Where deliverance can come from. There is no one else to call on. There is no one else to ask. There is no one else that can deliver. And there's no one else who will deliver. Because you will deliver, Lord God. We ask. Hallelujah. And you said, if we ask, we shall receive. Hallelujah. And we're asking for your great deliverance. We want the full salvation that heaven has provided through Jesus Christ. We want that salvation in manifestation, Lord God. That delivers all humanity. That delivers man from every trouble, every problem, everything that goes. Hallelujah. Where the curse is broken over lives. Hallelujah. Where the curse is broken over nations, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. By the demonstrations of the glory of the God of heaven, the one God, the only true God, hallelujah, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, hallelujah, and that's where we stand, Father, hallelujah, we don't want something else, aha, Lord God, Lord, we want you to come forth in your glory and power and demonstrate that men would say there is a glorious God in heaven who demonstrates himself among men, hallelujah, there is a God to fear, there is a God to call on, hallelujah, who answers prayer. A glorious God. A one to serve and a one to walk with and a one to follow. We thank you, Lord God. Father, we expect great things. Hallelujah. Lord God, I don't expect a little bit. I expect a lot. I expect glory to be revealed again. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, in the body of Christ. Lord, there are so many, all the gifts, Lord God, all the parts of the body, and there's none without significance, Lord God, that all the parts of the body demonstrate the glory that you desire to reveal through them. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I call forth in Jesus' name for the ministry gifts that have been set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ to come and take their place, Lord God, to step forth in the glory you called them to and leave that place that they have decided to walk in. And I call them, Lord God, out to your glory to reveal your glory to humanity. Lord God, the Church of Jesus Christ needs their gift, those gifts in demonstration, hallelujah. They need that leadership in the church again today, and we call them out in the name of Jesus to come forth in the glory of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Revealing the mysteries of the gospel. Revealing the glory of God to the people. Hallelujah. Bringing forth the word of faith that men can believe and walk in glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, that your plans and your purposes and your vision is carried out in the earth. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, the good work that you started in the church. You're bringing it to completion. The good work, hallelujah. Lord God, your hand is not slack. Hallelujah. Your hand is not slack. It will never be slack. Your hand goes forth, and we call your hand forth, Lord God. Lord God, and we reach forth in the name of Jesus to touch your hand. Hallelujah. To touch that glory, Lord God, to walk in it and to live in it, that glory revealed in men. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, You're a God of hope. And Lord God, You give us expectation. Lord God, we believe without a shadow of a doubt, something good's going to happen. Good is going to come forth. Glory's going to be revealed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, this is the last call. This is the last call, and it shall be a great one. It shall be such a call in the earth that men have not seen before with their eyes. Men have not heard such things from their ears, that glory will come forth. Hallelujah. Oh, that the book of Acts will seem like a little thing to the glory that will be demonstrated. Lord God, the word says that You, Father, are waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Lord God, we're not leaving here without harvest. We're not leaving here without harvest. We're not leaving here without glory. We're not leaving here without hordes and hordes of people coming into the kingdom, Lord God, calling on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It shall not be till those things are accomplished. Hallelujah. Then we will step into the fullness of the glory You've called the church to. Hallelujah. Father God, the new body. Hallelujah. Glory to God, a full redemption standing, looking at our Savior just as He is, we are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.